Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska, and I am your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I have found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Today is our open forum Bible study, and I want to welcome Neezy in the chat room. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here, sister. If you hear noise in the background, I have a four-year-old grandson here today. That's the noise you probably just heard. He dropped something. Anyway, I'm going to try to do this with a four-year-old in the room, so pray for me. Praise the Lord. All right, anyways, this is Open Forum Bible Study today, and what we basically do on Saturdays. This is completely open for any particular topics. If there is a topic that you're wondering about in the Scriptures that you'd like to understand, a certain doctrine that you'd like to search out to get answers to, or if you have prayer requests, testimonies, anything like that, feel free to give me a call at 1-646-478-5014. That's 1-646-478-5014. But before we even get started today, and also what I do on these days, if we don't have any particular topics that come up, I just get into the latest of the persecution reports. I get into the latest persecution reports from around the world. But before we even get started, I want to open this up with prayer. And I'm going to do that from Psalms 19:12-14, and the Our Father. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, I ask you to send out your spirit and draw in whoever it is that you want to be here today as we do this. And Lord, I ask you to send out your spirit and draw in whoever it is that you want to hear this in the archives later on as well. Lord, I ask you to help me as I do this with my grandson here. Just give me your guidance, Lord, and help me do it in Jesus' name. May your perfect will be done here today. In Jesus' holy name I pray, and I thank you for it. Amen. And my grandson was singing a song earlier, so I'm going to try really hard to see if I can coax him into coming over here and singing. Will you? Huh? Come on. I don't remember his song. He can't read. You want to sing something else? Okay, come on. I think he's going to sing. This is my 4-year-old grandson. Okay, right here. Sing right in here. You don't need to touch it. Okay, there you go. Sing.
Bye. What do I need to say?
Come on. The show's on, honey.
This will.
Say hello.
Hello.
Say, Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. No one can say you.
Is that all?
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Yay! Woo-hoo-hoo! Good job! Come over, let me give you a hug.
That's all
that was good.
That's all I could sing so far.
You did good. All right. So if I need some music in a little bit, you can come and sing me another one?
I'm
going to
do the same one because I can't go all the time.
Okay. I hope you guys can hear that. Praise God. That is my 4-year-old grandson, Braylon, by the way, that you just heard. That was a special today. Praise God. He's pretty brave, ain't he? All right. Praise the Lord. That's a little different than our usual deal on here, isn't it? I'm babysitting, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. Praise God. All right, our first persecution report. Let me get that copied, and I'll put the link in here for that. And this one says dreams and visions, moving Muslims to Christ. Now, we've had discussions on here before about what happens if somebody doesn't have a Bible. How can they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here we've got some testimony that's going to show that. And they mention a couple scriptures here, so let me pull them up first. And the first one is going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 17. And I'll put that in the chat room. That's Acts, chapter 2, and verse 17. And I want to welcome Neasy and Larry BJ in the chat room. Praise the Lord. That's Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Praise God. And then they've got Acts chapter 17. Let me pull that one up. And that's going to be verse 26 to 27. And I'll put that in the chat. That's Acts chapter 17. And isn't that awesome that the Lord gives dreams to people to reveal himself to them? That's Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. And it says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Okay, and this report, let me read the report to you. It says, by Chris Mitchell and Julie Stahl, CBN News. Several years ago, Ali took the Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, known as Hajj. Of course, when I went to Mecca, I was going there in order to pay homage to the Kaaba and to fulfill the requirements in Islam, he recalled. But the trip became more of a spiritual journey than he could ever imagine. That night, he says, I saw Jesus in a dream. It says, that night I saw Jesus in a dream. First, Jesus touched my forehead with his finger. And after touching me, he said, you belong to me, Ali recalled. And then he touched me above my heart. He continued, you have been saved. Follow me. You belong to me, he said. Now, can you imagine having a dream like this? This is somebody that didn't know him at all, that was serving another God. But Jesus came to him and revealed himself to him. It says, Ali's story in Mecca was told and dramatized in a DVD called More Than Dreams. It says, I decided I'm not going to finish the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Whatever it takes, I'm going to follow that voice, he explained. And you know what? That's our job, is to follow Jesus' voice. And he tells us in the scriptures, my sheep know my voice. And before we continue in this, I want to pull up that scripture. Take me a moment to find it. This is John chapter 10, and I'll put that in the chat room. John chapter 10 and verse 27. And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't that awesome? Okay, now back to that report. It says, the film documents and dramatizes Ali's story and several other Muslims who came to faith in Jesus through a dream or vision. Now, some people might say, well, this sounds kind of weird. I thought that we could only come to the Lord through the Word of God, through the Bible. I've got to deal with my grandson at the same time here. Many people think that they can only do this if they have a Bible. Well, in another picture in the book of Acts, we find out that Paul, which was called Saul of Tarsus, also came to the Lord through the Lord speaking to him, not through a dream or a vision. Well, actually, it was a vision, and he heard a voice also. And let me pull that scripture up, because this is just absolutely awesome that I just love this report that the Lord did this with these people. So if our hearts are ready for the Lord, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done. If we are seeking God with our hearts, and he does know our hearts, if we are, yeah, Jesus is the word. There it is, Larry. If we are seeking him with our hearts, he will reveal himself to us. I'm trying to think of where that scripture is. my grandson. Okay, I'm hoping I'm going to find this. There we go. This is Acts chapter 9. And we'll go to verse 1 and see how the Lord revealed himself to Saul. Let me put this in the chat. That's Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." Isn't that awesome? So here you have the Lord revealing himself to Saul, and later on he changed his name to Paul. Okay, let's go back to this report. You're being so good. Grandma's proud of you. He's sitting here so good. All right. For a four-year-old, now that's pretty good. All right, back to this report. It says, we're seeing that all around. We're hearing about people that have never even thought about Jesus as Savior. Tim Doyle with E3 Ministries said, they're content Muslims, and they're having dreams over and over. So it sounds like Jesus isn't even settling for giving them one dream. He does it over and over. It says, Doyle and his wife, Joanna, take the gospel to the Muslim world. He's also the author of the upcoming book, Dreams and Visions. Is Jesus awakening the Muslim world? I think our God is a fair God, that he's righteous and just, and people are seeking and they don't know where to go, Doyle said. Maybe they don't have a Bible. Maybe there's no missionary in the village, he said. He'll get the message to them somehow. Isn't that awesome? I want to welcome the guest in the chat room. It says, the phenomenon of dreams and visions has surfaced throughout the Muslim world, from Indonesia to Morocco. In the church, if you ask how many people came to Christ, 80%, listen to this, in that church, it sounds like those in that area, in the church, if you ask how many people came to Christ, 80% will say, I saw him in a dream. Isn't that awesome? 80% of them will say they saw him in a dream. That is awesome because he loves people so much. And if there isn't somebody there to give them the good news, he's going to do it himself. Praise God. That is absolutely awesome. Did you want to sing another song? All right, get over here. You're going to sing the same one? All right, we got a music break.
Again. Here you go. Purple. All right. Introduce yourself. Tell them what your name is.
Braylon Fletcher.
How old are you?
4.
Okay.
This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let the end it out, cause I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine. Yeah, we should all let our light shine, huh? Good job.
I'm proud of you. You can think of another song. Just think. Think to yourself other songs while we're doing this, okay? All right?
All right. Praise God. All right, our next report. Like as if that report wasn't enough. That was awesome. To think that the Lord is doing that. That's how much he loves us. All right, this one is from Kenya. And it says, at least 17 killed after Islamist gunmen opened fire on churches in Garissa. And this is from the 1st of July of this year. It says, there's no end to Christian martyrdom in Africa. After Nigeria, now the Christian community in Kenya are under attack. The death toll following the attacks on two churches in Garissa in northeastern Kenya is 17, with another 50 people injured and 10 seriously injured. Garissa is located in northeastern Kenya, approximately 140 kilometers from the border with Somalia. It says the city is 70 kilometers away from the vast refugee camp in Dadaab, which is currently sheltering 465,000 Somali refugees. Four foreign humanitarian aid workers, don't touch the microphone now while Grandma's talking, okay? Thank you. Four foreign humanitarian aid workers were kidnapped from here Friday. The attacks, which took place almost simultaneously, targeted the city's Catholic cathedral and a church owned by the African Inland Independent Church, AIC, congregation. As Sunday Mass was being celebrated, Kenyan authorities have pointed the finger at Islamist Al-Shabaab militia operating in Somalia, whose border lies 140 kilometers away from the city. A group of hooded terrorists launched two grenades inside the cathedral, but only one went off. The dead and many of those wounded were registered as members of the AIC Congregation's church, where another five militiamen opened fire on faithful. 10 of them died instantly, and another six passed away as they were being taken to the hospital. It says, flashback, East Africa. Growing appeal of radical Islam could have major ramifications for Christianity, stable democracies. Al-Shabaab has been waging an insurgency against Somalia's fragile interim government since 2007 and formally became part of Al-Qaeda earlier this year. Abdullah's account is part of a mounting body of evidence, including intelligence picked up by security agencies. Research by the United Nations and accounts by Muslim Kenyans interviewed for this story that suggests Al-Shabaab is mentoring a new and increasingly multi-ethnic generation of militants in the region that could have major ramifications, not just for Somalia, which has been without a working government for two decades, but also for countries such as Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, relatively stable democracies whose economies are among the steadiest in Africa. Our next report I do not have a link for. This is one I got just as an email, and I want to welcome that guest in the chat room in case that's a new guest. I'm not sure. While I'm reading, it's kind of hard to keep track of the chat at the same time. This report says 10 dead in Kenya attacks. It was a pack of goons who trained their guns on two churches in a Kenyan town Sunday, according to police. No group has claimed responsibility for the attacks on the houses of worship in Garissa, a town near Kenya's border with Somalia, but blame will likely be put on Al-Shabaab, a Somali-based group of Islamic militants who have launched assaults inside Kenya before. While police in the town say 10 people died in the attacks, the Kenya Red Cross put the death toll at 16. It is a terrible scene. You can see bodies lying in the churches, a local police chief said. Okay, next report. I do have a link for this one. And some of these, like always, will, some of them might be repetitive because I get these reports from different places and don't always, some of them will have different things added to the reports. And so I don't always know what they have in these reports because I don't have time to sit down and read them beforehand because I've got so many of them that I collect together here. This says, this one here says, victims of explosion in Israel lament plea agreement. And there's a picture. I put that link in the chat room, and there is a picture there where there's a hole in this big board that they've got there. It says, ultra-right Jew who planted bomb. My grandson was making noise. Ultra-right Jew who planted bomb ruled guilty but not responsible. This is May 21st in Jerusalem. It says, a messianic Jewish congregation leader whose son was almost killed by a bomb planted by an ultra-right-wing Jew said he feels like the Israeli criminal justice system has abandoned him. On Monday, May 28th, the Jerusalem District Court approved a plea agreement for the man accused of bombing Pastor David Ortiz's home. Jack Thiel, without consulting Ortiz or his attorneys, Ortiz said, the plea agreement is unique in that the court said Ketel committed the acts but did not hold him responsible for committing them. Ortiz, leader of the Congregation of Ariel, said the prosecutor's office was also consistently misled. Said the prosecutor's office has also consistently misled his attorneys about basic information on important court filings for the case. Honey, I need you to be quiet because grandma can't concentrate, okay? And they'll be able to hear you over the microphone, okay? Here, go ahead and play with your stuff, okay? There you go. You didn't fix this one. Put that nut on this part right here and screw it all the way in, just like this one here is, see? Yeah, you can. You did it on the other one. Try to keep him a little bit busy here. All right, let's see. Where was I? Ortiz, leader of the Congregation of Ariel, said the prosecutor's office has also consistently misled his attorneys about basic information on important court filings for the case. Ketel has multiple charges against him for several acts of violence, including two killings. But prosecutors in Ortiz's case have sidelined or deliberately avoided him, Ortiz said. The Ortiz family opposes any plea bargain. It says they are doing it without any kind of consultation with us. Did you think of another song? Huh? Okay, well, don't sing it now. Save it for when I put you on the microphone, okay? All right, otherwise they hear you in the in the background, honey. Oh, okay, well, think of another one. All right, it says...
It's not the same one.
Okay, all right. I don't know if you can hear him in the background or not. He was telling me he's thinking up of another song. It says the victims are either supposed to... The victims are either supposed to okay it or reject it. They can't just make a plea bargain. Honey, don't sing it until I put you on the microphone, okay? Okay, thank you. Amazing. It says they can't just make a plea bargain without consulting the victims. They are trying to ignore us, it says. The prosecutor that is supposed to be protecting Ortiz's interest is neglecting his duty, he added. He doesn't want to be seen protecting Christians Ortiz said, it doesn't benefit him in society. It says, on March 20th, 2008, Tito placed a Purim basket laden with explosives at the front door of the Ortiz apartment in Ariel, Israel, according to a confession Tito made to police. The bomb was meant to kill Ortiz, who runs an active ministry in Israel and in parts of the occupied territories. A part-time housekeeper brought the basket into the apartment and set it on a kitchen table. When the pastor's son, 15-year-old Amy Ortiz, opened the basket, it disappeared in an explosion that destroyed the Ortiz apartment and left Amy writhing in his blood on the kitchen floor. In June, the Jerusalem District Court is supposed to have another hearing to determine if Titel is criminally responsible for the shootings and bombings. David Ortiz said he has long been concerned that the prosecution will make a deal with the defense in which they will say Titel was insane when he set the bomb, thus making him not responsible for what he did. For Ami, the question isn't about how much time Tito spends in prison, but whether his heart is changed when he is released. I want to welcome that guest in the chat room, 456526, praise God. It says, I have forgotten him, Emmy said. I never felt the need for revenge. Isn't that awesome? It says, I have never felt any kind of hate for Jack Tito. I hope God talks to him. I hope someone says to him something that will make him think about where he is heading in life. Is what he's doing right? Ami said he wants Tito to accept Yeshua as Messiah. If 1 hour in jail led Tito to a changed heart, 1 hour would be great, he said. Wow. It says, after the blast, Amy said that while he was on the floor after the explosion, he couldn't see or move. He could barely breathe and hear. Surprisingly, he still remembers the explosion. To me, it sounded like a balloon popping because it messed up my ears, he said. Moments later, his apartment was full of people. I tried to get up, but they pushed me back down, he said. I was bleeding. I couldn't see anything, and it was hard for me to breathe, so I was kind of panicky. Someone asked him what was going on, and he said that the package had exploded. In the beginning, I didn't feel pain, he said. I just felt it was hard for me to breathe, very hard, he said. I had to fight for my breath every time. I would talk. People would make me talk to make sure I was alive. I didn't feel any pain. My whole body was numb. About 20 minutes later, paramedics arrived at the scene and took Amy to a hospital. In the ambulance, the pain came over him suddenly and overwhelmingly, he said. I started panicking in there. I was afraid, very afraid, because I could hear my situation with the two paramedics talking between themselves. I really got it, and then the pain started. His legs began to feel like they were burning, he said. It felt like my legs were broken. It is a strange pain. I can't describe it, but it's nothing I had ever felt before. I really couldn't take it. I asked them to put me down, and I woke up 8 days later. In the recovery for David Oritz and his wife Leah, Almy's recovery was at once gut-wrenching and faith-affirming. Almy's body was shattered. He spent 8 hours in surgery with doctors doing two-hour rotations in the operating room. Ortiz said that at one time he felt like he had fallen into a black hole. He remembers sitting down in the hospital thinking, I'm gone. I can never get that back. Lee Ortiz, spiraling in her own despair, told her husband, I'm losing it. David Ortiz said it was then, sitting in his son's hospital room, that he saw an image of Jesus on a throne and felt God speaking to him. He leaned in close to his wife, and as the message was revealed to him, he whispered it word by word into her ear. He said, a decision has been made in has been made in heaven that you will not understand, but I have decided to glorify myself. Amy is going to walk out of the hospital. Can you imagine having your child in that kind of condition and having the Lord speak to you that that child is going to walk out of that hospital? Praise God. It says, when Amy was carried into the hospital, doctors said his condition was matzav anush, or hopeless. Think about it. But God had other things in mind. I want to welcome the other guests in the chat room. Praise God. It says, but by 6 a.m., the lead doctor taking care of Amy approached the Ortiz family with a confession of sorts. It says, I have no medical terms to describe it, he said, according to Leah Ortiz. I cannot speak to you in medical terms. Your son has experienced a miracle. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. It says, for the legal action on November 12, 2009, prosecutors indicted Titel for the Ortiz bombing. They also indicted him on a host of other charges related to the shootings or attempted killings of several other victims. So this wasn't the only one he tried to do this to, looks like. It says, along with the Ortiz case, police said Titel was responsible for the June 1997 shooting death of Samir Bablessi, a Palestinian taxi driver who was found in his cab with a single bullet wound to his head. 2 months later, police said Titel shot Izzet Jabarin, a Palestinian shepherd who was giving Titel driving directions to Jerusalem. Police also said that Titel attempted to set fire to a monastery he believed was harboring missionaries and made several unsuccessful bombing attempts. He is accused in September 2008 bombing that slightly wounded emeritus history professor Zaev Sternhell of Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Titel, 39, immigrated to Israel from the United States in 2000, is married and has 4 children. He lived in the West Bank settlement of Shavut Rachel near Jerusalem. Police said that Titel is an ultra-Orthodox Jewish nationalist who picked out his targets based on his nationalist philosophy. Following his arrest, Titel underwent at least 2 psychiatric evaluations. He was declared unfit for trial in the first evaluation in 2010. Tests afterward cleared him to stand trial. Says, moving on, in many ways, Amy has moved beyond the attack. Scars and emotional damage will be with him the rest of his life. But Amy sees the bombing as a defining moment in his life that he refuses to let define who he is. The bomb was meant to kill or at minimum maim David Ortiz and stop his ministry to the Jews in Israel. But instead, it changed Amy, who admits that before the blast, he wasn't that serious about his faith and hardly ever talked about it. You're being bad. You got to fix the boat. You got to just put that one nut and put that on there. You can do it. He says he can't do it. All right, sorry about that. Got a little distraction here from a 4-year-old. Praise God. It says, you ask yourself where you stand. You have to start taking things seriously because things are getting serious. Now, Amy, who attends a Bible college in the United States, talks openly about his faith. If for no other reason than that his history is emblazoned on his body in the form of scar tissue and residual metal fragments, he takes his role as a spokesman in stride. It's not something I try to avoid or will try to avoid because it's not something I will be able to, he said. I am living my life wherever God wants to take me. I know there's a reason for it, so I'm just going to play along. I'm not going to fight it. Amy sees part of what happened to him as a warning for other Christians, be they Gentiles or Jews, who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Persecution is coming, he said.
It's the start, he said, of the kind of persecution that he suffered. We know from the Bible it's going to get much worse. Persecution of a higher level will come, if not 5 years, 10 years, if not 10 years, 15. It's not far, it says. Okay, I'm going to put in the chat room the next link for the next report. And if my grandson happens to have another song here, I'm going to see if I can coax him to sing again. Praise God. You don't have another song? I thought you were thinking of another song. You learned it all? Well, can you sing it for me? You can't? No? All right. Well, you're being pretty good. I'm pretty proud of you. You think you got another one? Okay. Here we go. Here's another song from Braylon, I think. You got it? You got one? Are you ready? They're waiting. You got to think of another one. Okay, keep thinking, and then Grandma will put you on, okay? After this next report, I'll ask you again. Okay? Think of another song. You're doing good. All right. There's that next link. Okay, this one is suicide bombing hits another church in Jos, Nigeria. It says Boko Haram, Islamic extremist, finds weak link in military security chain. This was from June 10th. An Islamic extremist ran a car full of explosives at a Pentecostal church in its Plateau State city this morning, killing at least two Christians and injuring more than 40 others, military and police officials said. Huh?
I got it.
You got it? All right, come on. You lost it again, didn't you? You got it? You think you can sing it? It's about what?
Bad words.
Okay, if it's got bad words, then I don't want you singing it. You sing a song with bad words in it at school?
It doesn't say stupid.
He said it doesn't say stupider stuff. Okay. I want you singing songs about Jesus. If you're going to sing a song, it has to be about Jesus. Okay? They don't have to have his name in them, but they have to be about him and his love. You know, that kind of stuff. He's thinking, I'll keep reading. Praise God. In Borno State also today, gunmen reportedly killed at least two Christians during worship, during church worship. The Boko Haram Islamic sect reportedly took responsibility for both assaults. The attack in Jos on Christ's Chosen Church of God was the second suicide bombing of a church in two Sundays and the third church bombing in Jos in 6 months. The explosion, which hit after a service had ended and church leaders and some children remained in the building, collapsed the roof of the sanctuary, witnesses said. The death toll was expected to increase and injuries were severe. It marked the second consecutive Sunday. Huh? Okay, you got to be quiet, though, while you're thinking, okay, so Grandma can read. You got it figured out?
Yeah.
All right, come on.
The same one.
No, you already sang that two or three times here. But Grandma will go ahead and read her report, honey, okay?
I have to sing it again because I don't know more songs. I only know that one and that's it.
Okay, well, then Grandma will just read reports, okay? I want you to sing one of the mother songs that you sing with your mama.
The one that I sing.
Do you know any you sing with your mama?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
The one I always watch on TV is Why Don't You Bless Mom? It sounds good to me. Do it over again. Again, just what I need.
You want to sing that one? All right, come on. You just
did sing the words. Here you go. Come on. Come on. It was just a car drove by. Come on. Why are you so jumpy? Come on. Everybody's waiting. Come on.
Okay, sing it.
What's this?
We got another special.
Is this a glove? Is that a glove? I don't break my heart.
You gotta sing it louder. You have to sing it louder. They can't hear you, honey.
Why don't you break my heart? It sounds good to me. Do it over again, again, again. Just what I need. Why don't you break my heart? Sounds good to me. Do it over again, again, again. Just what I need. Why don't you break my heart? Sounds good to me. Do it over again, again, again. Just what I need. Why don't you break my heart?
Yay!
We need Jesus to break our hearts, huh? Yeah. Okay, be careful. All right, get set back up here. Praise God. All right, I have no idea where I was at, so I'm going to try this again. All right, in this report it says it marked the second consecutive Sunday that an extremist from the Boko Haram Islamist sect has been able to get through checkpoints to bomb a church. And reports followed of rioting by aggrieved youths that left further casualties. Esther Solomon, a 31-year-old university student whose family house sits directly opposite the church building, told Compass that a pastor, church elders, and some children remained in the sanctuary at the moment the bomb was detonated. She said she was in her family living room at the time. She said, I heard this loud explosion that broke window glass. The impacts of the explosion forcefully opened the front door of our house and threw me into one of the bedrooms. Somebody liked your song on here. Look at the faces they put on here. Look. See the faces laughing? Look. They liked your song. They're making silly faces. See, they make silly faces. You put this in here. Look, you do like this, and you click on that, and it makes a face. Okay, go sit down. All right. I was showing him the faces that 46526 put in the chat room. Praise God. All right. It says Rahab Gunat, 41, said the suicide bomber was seen trying first to bomb two churches, St. Peter's Catholic Church and the Evangelical Church, winning all ECWA, each like chosen church located along the Rukuba Road, but could not gain entry. The bomber then targeted Christ's Chosen Church of God, though officials said he was stopped short of the building before detonating the explosives. Wow. It says he was seen trying to go to the ECWA church, but he was prevented from doing so by members of the Boys Brigade, similar to Boy Scouts, who were keeping watch over the church, Gunnett said. From there, he went to the St. Peter's Catholic Church, but was denied entry too. Evidently, they must have like gates set up or something to keep him out. It says, but when he found that there was no security in this church, he crashed into it. Selena Malo, 20, whose family's house is just a few meters from the collapsed church building, told Compass that she was preparing for a bath when the bomb exploded. I heard a loud explosion that brought down the ceiling of our house, shattered all glass of our windows, and violently brought down household items, she said. I was confused and began crying. Her two younger sisters, ages 8 and 11, were also crying, she said. I rushed outside to see what had happened and saw that it was a car that had crashed into a nearby church and people inside were crying, Malo told Compass. She said that when she rushed out of her house, she saw the daughter of the pastor of the Christ Chosen Church of God crying outside the demolished structure. Her name is Victory, and she told me that her dad, the pastor of the church, and her mom were both inside the church, Malo said. As we were thinking of what to do, people around rushed here to rescue people trapped in the church. Many have been injured and they have been taken to the hospital. Melo added that she assisted in moving the 10-year-old son of the church pastor, Peter, away from the bombed church before he was taken to a hospital. The boy was bleeding from wounds he got in the explosion, Melo said. The news agency of Nigeria reported that the church pastor, Monday, Uzoka, and a church elder were in critical condition following the blast. Melo's mother, who was out of the town at the time of the bombing, arrived as Melo spoke with Compass and began to cry after seeing her daughters. Nisi has loved that story about the Muslims finding God. Praise God. Isn't that amazing that God would actually give Muslims a dream about himself? Because he sees their hearts. He knows every one of our hearts. There's nothing we can hide from him.
What? Well, honey, I can't stop now and go get you something to drink. You're going to have to wait, okay? Let me at least get this report done, and then Grandma will play some music for him, okay? And then I'll get you something.
You don't have no more of your milk left?
Okay, I'll get you something shortly, okay? Let Grandma get this done, okay? Okay. Okay, you be real quiet for Grandma so I can get this read, and then I'll play some music for them, and I'll get you some, okay? Okay. Chocolate milk, okay. You don't want that cranberry juice. That'd be nasty. I like it, but you wouldn't like it, I don't think. We'll not try that. All right. Sorry, everybody. Okay, it says Melo's mother was out of the town at the time of the bombing, arrived as Melo spoke with Compass and began to cry upon seeing her daughters. I am happy my children are alive, she explained. I praise God that I met them alive. The injured were being treated in Bingham University Teaching Hospital, Joe's University Teaching Hospital, and the Plateau State Specialist Hospital, all in Joe's. It says, in Bayou, Borno State, gunmen reportedly shot at worshipers as they were leaving a worship service before entering the sanctuary and killing two Christians. The Borno State Police Commissioner reportedly confirmed the attack on the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, EYN, in the local Hausa language congregation. On June 3rd, in Bauchi State, a Muslim suicide bomber from the Boko Haram sect attacked the Living Faith Church in Yelwa, a Christian settlement on the outskirts of the northern Nigeria city of Bauchi, killing 13, with allegations following that authorities killed 8 others who were protesting the lack of security. The blast also collapsed a wall of the nearby Harvest Field Church of Christ, leaving 3 people in critical condition. Literally meaning forbidden book and translated as Western education is forbidden, Boko Haram has targeted churches, state offices, law enforcement sites, and some moderate mosques in an effort to destabilize the government and impose a strict version of Sharia Islamic law on all of Nigeria. Nigeria's population of more than 158.2 million is divided between Christians, who make up 51.3% of the population and live mainly in the south, and Muslims, who account for 45% and live mainly in the north. The percentages may be less, however, as those practicing indigenous religions may be as high as 10% of the total population, according to Operation World. Okay, I'm going to put the link for the next report in here in the chat room. And then I need to go get my grandson something to drink because he's thirsty. And so let me pick out a song. I absolutely love this song, Shadow of a Tree. Praise God. I know the lady that sings this, and boy, does she have one awesome voice. Here you go. Enjoy. And I'll be right back.
Sorry about that. I'll try it again. There we go.
It provided shade on a traveler's way till the woodsman cut it down. Far from its home, the tree didn't know that a savior it would bear. Soon to be part of a much greater plan for love would be crucified.
Our next report says dreams and visions moving Muslims to Christ. Oh, wait a minute. This one we already did. Oh, goodness. I've got to move this forward. I clicked on this, and I don't know where I was at here. I've got to find where I was at. Let me play some more music for you. I lost my place. I'll be right back. Authorities shut down shut church in Tehran. And I posted the link for this one in there already. It says, Revolutionary Guard closes doors amid crackdown on recognized churches, Istanbul, June 8th. Authorities in Iran this week ordered the closure of a church in the capital, Tehran, amid a government campaign to crack down on the few recognized churches offering Farsi-speaking services, according to a human rights group. The order came from Iran's Revolutionary Guard's intelligence branch on Tuesday, June 5th. The Revolutionary Guard, also known as SEPA, I think that's how you pronounce it, is known for its military aggression. Unfortunately, it is now official. The church in Janabad district was ordered to shut down, said Mosar Borji, an Iranian Christian and advocacy officer for Rights Initiative Article 18. If no reverse decision is made this Sunday, June 10th, well, that's way past, says no meeting will be held. Article 18 is a London-based initiative of the United Council of Iranian Churches, Hamjam, which seeks to defend and promote religious freedoms in Iran. Hamgam is composed of Iranian Christian churches in Europe. The church in Tehran's northwestern district of Janabad belongs to the Assemblies of God Church in Iran. Originally, it was located in Karaj, about 20 kilometers, 12 miles west of Tehran, but authorities ordered it to shut down some years ago, Borji told Compass. Church leaders had negotiated with authorities to use property they acquired in Janabad in order to serve their Assyrian background Christian members who lived in West Tehran. Over time, however, the number of Iranians from Farsi-speaking Muslim families attending the church increased, drawing the attention of authorities. More than 70 Christians gather every Sunday for the Farsi-speaking service in Janabad. Undoubtedly, the order to close the church in the suburb of Tehran was handed down verbally, Borji said. Due to an increasing number of Farsi-speaking believers, mostly MBBs, Muslim background believers, it has become a cause of concern for the authorities, and they now ordered it to shut down, he said. Last month, the leadership of AOG Central Church of Tehran, after 20 years of pressure from authorities to provide a list of church members, asked its members to volunteer their names and national ID numbers. The government move was aimed at limiting attendance by converts from Islam to Christianity, as well as to better monitor its members, sources said. Almost all members of the church's two Sunday services come from Muslim families. Both services are held in Farsi. Borji said that some members did submit their information last month, and already authorities have used it to put pressure on Christians, alarming those who have not given their details. Some have submitted, but not all, especially since some members experienced problems at work and university after submitting their details, Borji said. One university student who attended the church was barred from taking a final exam, and another member was fired from work. It says, when members of the AOG Central Church of Tehran initially heard the news, some believed they were faced with the ethical dilemma of whether they would be denying Christianity, declining to reveal themselves in this way. In February, Emmanuel Protestant Church and St. Peter Evangelical Church were ordered to shut down their Friday services. These two churches were the last two official churches offering Farsi language services on Fridays in Tehran. If this aggressive campaign to eliminate evangelical Christianity is not stopped, it is a sad matter of time before all Farsi-speaking churches are forced to shut down, Borji said. If the church in Janabad closes its doors this Sunday, only three churches will remain in Tehran offering Farsi language services. The AOG, Central Church of Tehran, Emmanuel Protestant Church, and St. Peter's Evangelical Church, through Emmanuel Protestant Church and St. Peter's Evangelical Church shut down Friday services, they have continued to offer Sunday services in Farsi. Last month, authorities arrested one of the elders of Emmanuel Church in Tehran, Mehrdad Sajadi, and his wife, Foro Dashtiani. Wow, it's hard to pronounce some of these names. Says according to Moabit News. Moabit and other news sources report a crackdown against Christians in recent months. In a report earlier this month, Middle East Concern, MEC, reported that the government's campaign of intimidation against Christians and churches continues and noted that authorities are targeting both house churches as well as the small remaining number officially recognized Protestant churches. As an Islamic republic, Iran views Christians and especially Christian converts as enemies of the state and pawns of the West out to undermine the government. Authorities associate Christianity with some ethnic minorities in Iran, that is Armenians and Assyrians, and do not tolerate the notion of a Farsi-speaking church. Converts to Christianity from Islam resort to meeting together in secret at their homes and have formed an underground church made up of house groups. There is no data available on how many Iranians have left Islam for Christianity. On behalf of London-based Humgam, Borji asked the international community to speak up against the persecution of Christians in Iran. We are asking for the support and solidarity of all Iranians and the international community to put an end to these oppressive policies that are aiming to strangle the church, Borji said. Hey, Holly, it's good to see you in here, sister. More than 20 believers remain in prison in Iran because of their Christian faith, according to the MEC report. Five of those are held in Tehran, five in Shiraz, three in Kermanshah, and at least two in Isfahan. Five others in Isfahan were confirmed released in early May, including Hekmet Salami, lay leader of St. Luke's Anglican Church. It says, Norala Kabitzaid in the northwestern city of Awaz and Farshadi Fathi in Tehran's Evin prison have been detained since December 2010. Yusuf Nadarkhani of the Church of Iran has been in prison since October 2009 is still under the death sentence. Behnam Irani, also a member of the Church of Iran, has been in prison in Karaj since May 2011 and is in poor health. And I can tell you this man, Yusuf Nadarkhani, I heard recently that he's going to get another trial. But the problem is the attorney that was defending him in court was sentenced to, it seems like something like 11 years in prison. And the reason was because he was willing to defend Nadarkhani. And so he's lost his license to be a lawyer. And was supposed to have been put in jail as well. And so that's the kind of things that happens there in Iran. I've got another report that I want to read, and I'm going to take a break real short because my daughter just came to pick up my grandson. And so let me take a short break and play some music for you again, and then I will be right back. Let's see if I can find some music. Here's, My Redeemer Lives. Enjoy.
Ooh.
welcome everybody else that's popped in here, and we will continue in our report, but we won't have any more singing from my grandson because he's gone now. My daughter just came and got him. All right, our next report. This is also from Nigeria. Hopefully this is not the same one. Hopefully this is a different one. I think I got my mic back on here. All right. It says injuries severe after Baki, Nigeria suicide bomb attack. Islamic extremist bombing, alleged military shooting, killed 21, Baki, Nigeria, June 7th. Amid allegations that soldiers were responsible for at least 8 of 21 deaths after the suicide bombing of 2 churches here on Sunday, June 3rd. Sources told Compass that most of those injured from the blast and alleged military shooting were in critical condition. A statement reportedly from the Muslim extremist Boko Haram sect claimed the responsibility for the suicide bombing of the Living Faith Church. Oh, that's right. I wanted to read this other one. Thank you for reminding me, Lord. I'm sorry about that. I need to read this other report to you. And this is on a lady by the name of Asia Bibi. And the Lord reminded me a couple times to read this one today. It says, since our last communication with you, the prisoner alert for Asia Bibi has been viewed over 34,400 times and over 13,700 letters of encouragement have been sent. What a blessing this must have been to Asia Bibi, and what a message it will have sent to the officials that this person is cared for internationally. It's kind of like Nader Khani. Because of all of the tweets and things that's been sent out about Joseph Nader Khani, I can't remember for sure. Because of all the letters, and the farther we get word out about these things taking place and the more response we have from the public, the less of the open persecutions are going to take place in these countries. And so it's real important to go to these links and do anything that you can in writing to these people or whatever. It also encourages them. Some of them get letters in prison, and it encourages them. It helps them a lot to be able to withstand what they're going through. It says here, now imagine what could happen if we could double or triple or increase by 10 or 100-fold the number of people around the world that are praying and writing on behalf of those imprisoned and persecuted for their faith. It says, you can help. Please forward this email to those you know have a heart for God's people and encourage them to sign up too. It's the work of friends telling friends that will bring the greatest response to those who need it most. As the email does its work, you can revisit the chart below to see the effect that you have had. And then there's a chart on this. And if anyone wants this email forwarded to you, I can sure get you forward that to you. It's my email address is jcoverkommersministries@yahoo.com. And so if you'd like that forwarded to you, there's my email address in the chat. Again, it's jcoverkommersministries@yahoo.com. And it says in this update on Asia Bibi, in April, Asia was going through a rough time. She had to celebrate yet another Easter away from her family. She told her husband, Ashik, I am fine, but to be alone and away from my family is frustrating to me. She has small children, okay, and she's going through this. God bless you, too. I was glad that you were here. Good night to you, too. You have a blessed week as well. All right, it says, she had to celebrate yet another Easter away from her family. She told her husband, Ajik, I am fine, but to be alone and away from my family is frustrating to me. I want to run away from this imprisonment. Ajik encouraged her and said, "You have been steadfast in your faith so far. Be patient and trust in God. He will surely guide you." In June, Ajik reported that Asia was feeling better. She said another group had brought her some food and clothes, and she was thankful for them and for all her prayer supporters. She was spending most of her evenings in prayer. Asia has been in prison for 3 years. It says, please continue to pray for her. And in fact, there's a thing here that might be a link. Oh, praise God. Here we go. I can actually put this in the chat room. Here's a link to that report that I just read. And so you can go to that and you can actually get that information yourself. And in fact, they've even got more written down in here. Let me go ahead and read this because this one here gives a lot more detail. It says, Asia Bibi, a 37-year-old Pakistani woman from the village of Itawali, was arrested by police Friday, June 19, 2009. Now think of this. All this time, she's been away from her family. Since June 19, 2009, it says Asia, also called Asia Noreen, is the wife of 50-year-old Ashik Masi, and their family is one of only three Christian families in a village of 1,500 families. Can you imagine that? Three Christian families in a village of 1,500. It says many of the local women, including Asia, work on the farm of Muslim landowner Muhammad Adriz. During their work, many of the Muslim women have pressured Asia to renounce Christianity and accept Islam. In June, the pressure became especially strong. On Friday, June 19th, now this, of course, is the story before she got arrested, says on Friday, June 19th, there was an intense discussion among the women about their faith. The Muslim women told Asia about Islam. Asia responded by telling them about her faith in Christ. Asia told the Muslim women Christ had died on the cross for sins, then asked them what Muhammad had done for them, according to Voice of the Martyr resources. It says she told them Jesus is alive, but Muhammad is dead. Our Christ is the true prophet of God, she reportedly told them, and yours is not true. Upon hearing this, the Muslim women became angry and began to beat Asia. Then some men took her and locked her in a room. They announced from the mosque loudspeakers that she would be punished by having her face blackened and being paraded through the village on a donkey. Local Christians informed the police, who took Asia into custody before the Muslims could carry out their plan. She was held at the police station in Nankana City. Christians there urged the police not to file blasphemy charges, but police claimed they were under pressure from local Muslim leaders. 17 months after Asia's arrest, she was convicted of violating subsection C of Pakistan's 295 blasphemy law, blasphemy against the Prophet of Muhammad, and was sentenced to death. Okay, she was sentenced to death all this time ago. It says no Christian in Pakistan has ever been executed under the blasphemy law. But this is Pakistan. This isn't even Iran. It's Pakistan. It says no Christian in Pakistan has ever been executed under the blasphemy law. But in several cases, extremists have murdered Christians after the release from prison. Asia's conviction and death sentence have brought international attention to the country's blasphemy laws. It says Christians have called for Asia's release and for a repeal of the laws, while extremists in Pakistan continue to demand that she be executed. The Voice of the Martyrs urges Christians around the world to pray for Asia Bibi and her family. Prison is tough, even for the most faithful. In April, Asia was going through a rough time. She had to celebrate yet another Easter, and I already read this part, but I'll go ahead and read it again because it's short. It says, had to celebrate another Easter away from her family. She told her husband, Ashik, I think is how that's pronounced, I am fine, but to be alone and away from my family is frustrating to me. I want to run away from this imprisonment.
She encouraged her and said, "You have been steadfast in your faith so far. Be patient and trust in God. He will surely guide you." In June, Sheik reported that Asia was feeling better. She said another group had brought her some food and clothes, and she was thankful for them and for all her prayer supporters. A monthly visit with family, this part is titled, and it says, imprisoned Christian Asia Bibi was visited by her husband, Ashik, on March 6, 2012. When Asia inquired after her two young daughters, Ashik told her that the children were healthy and doing well in school. She told him she was feeling discouraged about even being released, about ever being released. It says, he said, yesterday when we had family prayer, I asked the children what they were praying for. They said, we are praying for those people who are helping us and who are trying to release our mama. At that moment, Ashik felt God's presence, and he said to me, don't be afraid, I am with you. Isn't that awesome? And the link to that article is right there in the chat room. Praise God. Okay, let me get this back situated where I was at here. Okay, let me see. Back to the report I was going to read, and I already put that link in the chat room. I hated to interrupt that like that, but the Lord was reminding me again to read that report, and that's like three or four times that he's done that while I've been on here, and I forget, and he knows I forget a lot, and so he keeps reminding me, and he reminded me right in the middle of reading this weather report, so it's probably pretty important that whoever was here needed to hear it for some reason. All right, it says, Islamic extremist bombing, alleged military shooting killed 21. Baki, Nigeria, June 7th, amid allegations that soldiers were responsible for at least 8 of 21 deaths after the suicide bombing of two churches here on Sunday, June 3rd. Sources told Compass that most of those injured from the blast and alleged military shooting were in critical condition. A statement reportedly from the Muslim extremist Boko Haram sect claimed responsibility for the suicide bombing of the Living Faith Church in Yelwa, a Christian settlement on the outskirts of the northern Nigeria city of Baki. The blast also collapsed a wall of the nearby Harvest Field Church of Christ, leaving 3 people in critical condition. Of 61 people taken to Abu Bakar Tafawa Balawa University Teaching Hospital, Baki, after the blast, 38 were in critical condition. A staff member told Compass on condition of anonymity. Boy, I don't know how to pronounce them words. Sorry about that. It says the other 23 have been treated and sent home. Church leaders said at a press conference on Monday, June 4th, that 45 Christians were considered injured. Wow, 45. It says 25 out of those were injured by the bomb blast, while 20 sustained various degrees of injuries from the gunshots by soldiers, said the Reverend Lawi Pakti, chairman of the Baki chapter of the Christian Association of Nigeria, who said the military shot 8 Christians to death. The Nigerian military has yet to respond to the allegations. In similar church attacks in Nigeria, Christians angry that their brethren were being killed in the presence of security agencies have been shot for refusing military orders to leave. Lamenting that Christians have been attacked and killed without provocation, still Pakti beseeched Christians to refrain from seeking revenge. We also wish to call on all Christians to remain calm and not to embark on any act of reprisal or vengeance, as this will constitute a criminal act and a violation of the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, Johnson Alogba, associate pastor at Living Faith, said most of the injuries were severe. Most of our members are critically ill in the hospitals, he said, some with first degree, second degree burns, I guess. It says Alogba said many of the church's 2,000 members were traumatized, but that the battle belonged to the Lord. Okay.
it also says in this report, like the Lord told Jehoshaphat not to go out and fight. We too believe that the Lord will fight for us, he said. These terrorists believe in chariots, but we trust in the Lord. Praise God. It says the pastor had completed the first worship service at 9:15 a.m. and had begun the second service when the congregation heard a loud blast that shook the sanctuary, he said. The glass windows were shattered. The roof of the church building was shaking and almost collapsing on us, he said. Our church members were scattered, and they were running and jumping through all available entrances out of the sanctuary. There was smoke and fire all over outside. Mbami Gadia, pastor of nearby Harvest Field Church of Christ, said 10 members of his congregation were injured, three critically, when the blast collapsed the wall of his church building. He saw two cars being screened at the security point in front of the church compound. The second one contained the suicide bomber. When he turned his attention away from them, he said, suddenly there was a loud bang which brought part of the church building down. Godiga said, our church became very dark as fire engulfed it. In the midst of this darkness and the cries from the members of my church, I shouted and called for calm and asked them to lie down in case there were multiple explosions. The pastor said he saw the hand of God in that no one from his congregation died. Praise God. It says 10 of my members who were injured were taken to the hospital, he said. 7 were treated and discharged, and 3 are still in critical condition. Most of the people from Living Faith who died had ended their morning worship service and were leaving the building, he said. They were all passing by the security checkpoint by my church when the explosion occurred, Godia said. The government had sent security agents to keep watch over the churches based on threats to the area, but Godia faulted the government approach. They should have mounted security checkpoints far away from the churches, but they came and mounted such checkpoints close to our churches, and that was the reason the bombers were able to get close, he said. Literally meaning forbidden book, and translated as Western education is forbidden, Boko Haram has targeted churches, state offices, law enforcement sites, and some moderate mosques in its effort to destabilize the government and impose a strict version of Sharia, Islamic law, on all of Nigeria. Nigeria's population of more than 158.2 million is divided between Christians, who make up 51.3% of the population and live mainly in the south, and Muslims, who account for 45% and live mainly in the north. The percentages may be less, however, as those practicing indigenous religions may be as high as 10% of the total population, according to Operation World. Funeral. 5 victims of the bombing were buried yesterday, June 6th, amid weeping and wailing. Buried at Christian Cemetery in Yalwa at 12:30 p.m. were Ermia Hassan Dodo, 67, Joseph, I'm not going to read these names, I'm just going to give you their ages. One of them was 67, one of them was 30, and was a student on the Federal Polytechnic Baki. Another one was 16, a student of the Divine International School. Another one was 32, an adolescent health specialist. And another one, it doesn't give the age, a final year student of Abu Bakr Tafawa Balawa University, Baki. In fact, that might have been the 32-year-old. Okay, it says, Gaiz Biyal, pastor of Living Faith Church, urged mourners at the service not to seek revenge against those who think they are fighting for God by killing Christians. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Vengeance belongs to Jesus Christ, who was persecuted for our sake, he said. It is he that can fight on our behalf. He knows what to do. If we try to do it ourselves, we will die in the process. Okay, we've got about 20 minutes left. Here's a link from the next report, and this one's from Pakistan. and it says, Christians in Pakistan allege seizure of graveyard. Retired military officer said to be taking advantage of marginalized minority, Lahore, Pakistan, June 6. Christians in a village in Punjab province are fighting to save their decades-old graveyard from being converted into farmland by a retired army colonel, sources said. Because of the military man's influence, police have refused to address the complaint by Christians of Bondari Walla village in Narang Mandi in spite of orders from senior administration officials, the sources said. Rimat Masi said that Colonel Faru Alam has claimed ownership of 150 acres of land and has threatened area Christians if they did not vacate it. The graveyard, which was established before the partition of Pakistan and India, had already shrunk to about a third of its original size after the retired colonel dug a boundary about it. Mashi said Christians approached Narang Mandi police after Alam desecrated Christians' graves on April 24th, but officers refused to register their complaint. Mashi filed an application before Punjab Additional Home Security, Asif Bilal, on May 8th, who referred it to Additional Superintendent of Police, saying, please help these individuals. Minorities are marginalized segments of our society and need our assistance. Mashi said the SP summoned Narang Mandi Police Station head Razakar Hussein Shah said, Shah, and handed him the application for registration at a first information report, but that the FIR has yet to be registered. The retired Army official acknowledged that the land originally had been designated as a Christian graveyard, but that the land was declassified as such and sold in 1983. Presently, there is no such specification, yet the graves are there, Alam told Compass. He said he found out the land belonged to him a few years ago. I specified a boundary for their graveyard, limiting it to three canals, which is 505.857 square meters, about 2 years back, while the remaining land is being used for agricultural purposes, he said. Alam denied that he had desecrated Christian graves, alleged that the Christians were being used by a member of the Ahmadiyya Islamist sect, I think that's how you pronounce that, considered heretical by many Muslims. He claimed that the Ahmadi was using the Christians to oppose him because he never trusted the sect member as a genuine Muslim. Provincial legislator Karam Gulfam, a member of the Pakistan Muslim League, Nawaz, said that he has asked his uncle to let the Christians use the land for the graveyard, but that the retired colonel insisted in taking possession of it. Masi said Alam was threatening him and other village Christians and that the dispute was stoking religious tensions in the area. On May 11th, around 100 Christians reached ashore to protest reached Lahore to protest against police inaction. The impoverished villagers returned to their village after receiving yet another assurance that the administration would look into the matter. Okay, we've got another report here. And this is on Mali Christian Women. And here's the link for that report, if I can get it to paste in here, maybe. There we go. All right, it says, Mali, Christians, women victims as Muslims impose Sharia. Nothing to be concerned about here. Sharia is completely benign and compatible with the values enshrined in the United States Constitution. How could it not be? Imam Raf said so. Christians, women victims as Islamic forces implement Sharia law in North Mali.
from International Christian Concern, June 7th. Thanks to Lachman. This is June 7th, 2012. It says, International Christian Concern from Washington, D.C., radical Islamists in control of northern Mali are enforcing a strict version of Sharia law that victimizes Christians, women, and other vulnerable groups. The radicals took control of northern Mali in April after ousting the armed forces of the government of Mali. All the Christians have left Timbuktu, the main city in north Mali, because of the Sharia law, as well as because of the presence of people linked with Al-Qaeda, said a Christian leader who fled from the north, from northern Mali. According to the Islamists, women cannot mix with men and can't ride on motorcycle with men. Women must also wear veils. Islamic rebels are enforcing the strict Sharia law by lashing women who failed to comply with the rules. They also have imprisoned other alleged violators of the Sharia law. Okay, next report. This says update, and I don't have a link for this one. It says update: Kuwait leader rejects death sentence, source International Christian Concern. Kuwait's ruler has refused to pass a bill previously voted through by parliament that would allow Muslims who insult Islam to be put to death and would harshly penalize Christians and other non-Muslims. The bill seeking to institute the death penalty for Muslims who insult Allah, the Quran, Muslim prophets, or Muhammad's wives was passed with an overwhelming majority last May, and it stipulates that Christians and other non-Muslims will be given a minimum sentence of 10 years for the same offense. Kuwait's leader has the power to refuse the bill, but the elected parliament can overturn his decision with a two-thirds majority vote. Praise God that this bill has not been approved, it says. Please pray that the emir's decision will win the support of parliament and that this unjust law will not be passed. Pray that those who oppress Christians may experience repentance and salvation, just as Paul did in Acts 9, 1 through 19. Yes, Lord, I lift this situation up before you, and I ask you, I thank you, first off, for not letting that law get put in place. And I ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself to those lawmakers that are trying to pose this law in that country. And I ask you to just reveal yourself to them so that they won't do it any longer. Make a way, Lord. Help those that are being persecuted over there. Guide and direct them in your steps, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. The next one says, house church baptism disrupted by raid in China. And the source is China Aid Association. It says 17 believers were detained during baptism service when officials and police raided a Han Chinese house church in the far west region of Xinjiang. Not sure how to pronounce it. It says the raid on the Bajahu House Church in Jinghe County occurred early in June during a gathering of more than 20 Christians. The church has also been ordered to stop holding meetings. Police officers burst into the meeting, followed by officials overseeing religion and domestic security. The 17 believers were taken into custody and held until that evening when they were escorted home by police. Wang Lai, the leader of the house church, was not on site during the raid. However, the purse she left at the meeting site, which contained her government ID card, keys, and more than 3,600 yuan, approximately 580 CAD, whatever that is, was confiscated. At last report, her belongings had not been returned. The husband of one of the detainees, who is not himself a Christian, was required to sign a guarantee that his wife will no longer attend the house church's meetings. He reportedly became very angry with his wife. Praise God for the baptism of these believers. Okay, the next report is attacks on Christians in Odisha, not sure how to pronounce it, India. And this source is from Global Council of Indian Christians. After believers rescued a pastor in Odisha, formerly called Orissa State, India, who was brutally beaten on his way home from a prayer service, about 50 Hindu militants terrorized the 12 Christian families, beating them, looting their homes, and attempting to rape some of the girls. Some of the attacked Christians remain unaccounted for, and it is believed that they have fled into the jungle. Violence is not new to this area of India. In August 2008, Hindu militants launched attacks on Christians in Kanhamal district. The violence left dozens of Christians dead and thousands of homes and churches destroyed. Many more were forced to leave their homes. A few days prior to the recent attacks on Christian families, local police seized more than 50 homemade bombs and 12 charges of dynamite hidden in a hut in the village of Gamhari in the district of Puri. Police believe the explosives would have been used in anti-Christian attacks. The next one says, war brings additional trials for Syrian believers. And this source is Voice of the Martyrs from the United States. Christians in Syria who share their faith have always faced danger. But the escalating civil war is making evangelistic efforts even more dangerous. Several evangelists who work with Voice of the Martyrs have lost family members. In some cases, people were killed because of their Christian identity, said Voice of the Martyrs program officer for the region. We are checking into how we can be of assistance to those who have been injured for their faith, including one whose face was mutilated as a warning to other Christians. The war has also displaced many Christians as Christians flee the fighting and leave their houses behind. Muslims and members of the rebel groups take possession of them. In addition, one church was closed by the government in recent months, and other churches remain under threat of closure. There's another report that I was hoping to get to today, and it was concerning right here in the United States of America, where Christians were attacked, and bottles were thrown at them, and I actually saw the video of it, and so I'm going to try to fast forward here and see if I can find that report in here, because that was right here in the United States of America, and let me tell you, in this video that I watched, and I'm hoping I've got that on here. I've got so many of these reports. Here we go. All right, here we go. I don't know if the video of what happened is going to be in here, but here's a report, and you can probably find the information from that. That's the link. It says, Dearborn Muslim charged. This is Dearborn, Michigan, right here in the United States. Dearborn Muslim charged with 9 counts of attempted murder for trying to kill street preachers outside the Islamic Center of America. There was little tiny kids throwing bottles. They were throwing huge stuff at these guys that were ministering. And you know what the police did? They said, well, we'll give you an escort out. Instead of the police arresting those people that were doing this stuff, they told them that they were the ones that was causing the problem, when they weren't throwing anything. It was the others that was doing it. This is right here in the United States of America, okay? And, you know, it's a wonder they weren't accused of inciting a riot just for preaching Jesus. And this is the way that things are going nowadays. Instead of the ones that are doing the damage being arrested, they accuse the brethren, or those that are trying to teach somebody about Jesus, they're the ones that's accused of doing the evil instead of the ones that are actually doing the evil. It's like, well, we made them do it because we talked about Jesus. And I'll tell you what, that's not right. It says here, Dearborn Muslim charged with 9 counts of attempted murder for trying to kill street preachers outside the Islamic Center of America. And the video that I saw, they were at the Muslims had some kind of fair going on or something like that, and the street preachers were there, and all this stuff was being thrown at them. And I don't know if this has anything to do with that or not, but it may. I was hoping, I don't have time to get that video in here. Let me see if I can fast forward this and see if I can find the actual deal on the video. I don't know if I got that in here or not. Yeah, maybe I'll just read this report because we're out of time pretty much. try to get back where I was. Because we're down to only about 5 minutes. Let me go ahead and read this report that I was just talking about. It says, I heard about this when I was still in Michigan, but I didn't want to post anything until I had some documentation. I waited for the Detroit Free Press and other local media to report the story, but I gave up after more than a week of searching. Fortunately, Gotti Adelman interviewed Ruben Israel and posted the disturbing news over at Front Page Magazine. On Sunday, June 17, 2012, Reuben Israel's group of street preachers went to the Islamic Center of America, the same mosque I had visited 2 days earlier while the group was preaching. A Muslim emerged from the mosque, got into his SUV, and tried to run them over. Mosque security naturally blamed the preachers for provoking him. This is the way it works, okay? We're the ones that's blamed for provoking them. It's like they don't have any control over themselves. So if you're just standing there and you're trying to minister to somebody and somebody tries to run you over, it's your fault. That is the way this is turning in this country. It says, on Sunday, June 17th, 2012, Reuben Israel's group of street preachers went to the Islamic Center of America. While the group was preaching, a Muslim emerged from the mosque, got into his SUV, and tried to run them over. Mosque security naturally blamed the preachers for provoking him. Everyone should take note here. Reuben Israel's presence at the Dearborn Arab Festival was national news. The media jumped at the chance to show images of intolerant Christians harassing Muslims. It says, check out Nirajah Waraku's coverage over the Detroit Free Press. So this does have a little bit about that incident also in here. It says, while I have no objections to calling attention to and criticizing the actions of Reuben Israel and his associates, we should all be horrified to realize that 9 counts of attempted murder by a Muslim targeting Christians isn't even considered newsworthy by local media in Michigan. Here's an excerpt from Adelman's interview. GA, now give me the exclusive. What happened on Sunday? RI says, we were at the Arab Fest on Friday. On Sunday, we went to the mosque in Dearborn. GA, were you on mosque property or on the sidewalk? RI, what mosque doesn't have a sidewalk, but we stood by the street where the sidewalk would be. Of course, the Dearborn police showed up instantly. We were able to use our megaphone. We were able to fly our banners, and there was no problem. The officers said everything was fine, and we were doing good. There were 2 squad cars, and they flanked us just to make sure we were safe. Some of the Muslims came out and were screaming at us, and we yelled back and forth, and we did not go on their property, and according to police, it was fine. Unfortunately, one of the Muslims got in his SUV, drove up over the hill, accelerated, and came right at us where we were standing. This guy came directly at us, and we had to jump out of the way, and he came screaming by us. It says both of the police cars stopped him, pulled him out, and cuffed him, and he showed no remorse. The police actually have it on video because both police cars had their dash cameras on. Well, when they were in the other Muslim festival, the police stood by and watched all of these things getting thrown at them. It was sick. It says, so it's not like it's my word against his. Then mosque security came out and said that they knew this guy and that we provoked him, and the Dearborn police officer yelled at the security guard and told him if he didn't back off, he would also be arrested for hindering a police investigation. GA, did the guy in the SUV pull over, or was he forced to? RI, they had to block him in. Once he was on the street, they were headed his way, and he was blocked in. They threw him against the car, cuffed him, frisked him, checked his car again. It's not like we can make this up. He is now officially charged with 9 counts of attempted murder. GA says, this never hit the news, not even in Dearborn? RI, no, of course not. But if I had attempted to run down a Muslim, that would be head news on CNN, CBS, NBC. But when a Muslim wants to take out 9 Christians, we were the visiting team. Okay, it looks like I'm out of time here. So I want to thank each and every person for being here. I read just as much of this as I could possibly get in here.
Let's see, there's just a little bit here. I just want to thank everybody for being here, and I'm going to go ahead and try to read the rest of this. It says, we were the visiting team. This guy may walk. He has the potential to walk. At the very best, they may take away his Liberty card for a few weeks, but he's out on bail. He's out on high-dollar bail from what I was told by the detective in charge. He does have a high-dollar attorney, so he's not going to go down easy. He's going to fight this thing. It seems police have video footage of the attempted murder of the group. Since the Dearborn Police Department and I aren't on the best of terms, anyone care to put in a FOIA request for the footage and police report? That's what it asks. I encourage everybody to go to YouTube and look for the talks about Christians being stoned in the United States, I think. Just type in Christians stoned in the United States and you might find the link for that YouTube video. I want to thank you again, everybody, for being here. May you have a wonderful day, and thank you for being so patient with my grandson being here. I think he enjoyed being on the program. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Bye-bye.
Every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no I've seen my